Hello, mamas, and thank you for listening to Always With Me, episode 22. I'm your host, Diana Collins, and today's guest is Ariana Tabuada. Ariana is a maternal health consultant who works with experienced entrepreneurs who are becoming first-time mothers, helping them customize their maternity leave plan and return to work. She is deeply committed to providing ongoing, multifaceted support that meets the professional, physical, mental, social, and emotional needs of entrepreneurs as they baby-proof their business and navigate new motherhood. Prior to her consulting practice, Ariana worked on maternal health issues for over a decade as a health educator, a social worker in a mental health clinic, a reproductive health researcher, and a yoga therapist. Woo! She draws from her expertise as a maternal health professional, combined with her experience as a business owner and mother, to provide highly personalized service so expecting entrepreneurs have the tools and information they need to make decisions and take action when it comes to balancing their business with a new baby. Ariana lives, works, and plays with her family in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy this conversation with Ariana and I. We talk about the transition of motherhood and how you can balance life with being yourself and mother. You do not have to forget about yourself just because you became a mom, ladies. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Ariana. Ariana, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me, Diana. I'm thrilled to be on your amazing podcast. Absolutely. It's been so fun to see how you've launched it and grown in the past few weeks.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I've been very busy. But you know what? It's amazing to see the passion that us moms have behind this topic. And I love it. So it goes to show that we are never alone. But if you want to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your motherhood journey, I know you have a little one, and it's your first time, so congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I have a 10-month-old boy and live here in Southeast Mexico with my family, my little boy, two other fur babies, and my husband. And a little about me, kind of maternal health work has been a part of my life since 2002, so long before I was a mother. So I feel like it's really helped prepare me in some ways for motherhood, to have that experience of working on issues related to reproductive health, postpartum health, clinical work, health services, all that type of all those topics. And in other ways, you know, there's just some things that cannot be learned until you are doing it yourself. So.
Man, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I know that when I was a preschool teacher, oh, I thought I knew everything. New. Right.
When you have a preschooler, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. How did I have two after that? I don't know. But I love it though. It's been a journey. So you're a maternal leave consultant, which is such a valuable resource to self-employed moms. Now, do you work with self-employed just that, or do you also work with working moms outside of the home?
So I started, in my early work for about the first decade, I worked in formal health service settings. And so I worked really with moms who were both working moms or moms who were looking for work and were having challenges related to, you know, unemployment, having a really hard time making ends meet. So work was kind of always at the forefront of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And about 3 years ago, I moved specifically into private practice, serving self-employed women and, you know, small business owners, women who work from home, women who run their own large businesses and have teams, because it's a gap in what's available to women who are in that reproductive childbearing stage. you know, the U.S. has kind of a specific maternity leave structure for women who are in formal workplace settings. Not that it's a great structure. No. Other countries have a lot better options out there. But self-employed women around the world really fall into a gap in terms of what's possible with our maternity leave. So that's what I founded my business on.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, because I was thinking about it, like, thank God I have my husband, but what if I, you know, I started my business after I had my kids, but what if, like, how does one leave behind your company for 3 months? And what if you're just a one-man team, you know? How does that work? And, I mean, if you can explain maybe to our listeners, like, what you've experienced and what you've witnessed with some of your clients, maybe?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that is like the golden question that everyone comes to me with is it even possible to take a maternity leave?
Yeah.
My answer right off the bat is always yes, and it is going to look different from other people's leaves. I work kind of the span of client experiences has been people who really only want to take a few weeks off or feel like financially they can only take a few weeks off, to people who want to take an extended maternity leave, a year away from kind of the nuts and bolts of their business. And I've seen both work really well. You really have to, you know, get a customized strategy and plan well in advance. Like you said, if you're a solopreneur, it takes some figuring out, am I going to hire someone for these tasks? Am I going to batch a bunch of content? Am I going to, train an assistant? All these kind of logistical questions that come up, you know, how am I going to, with the money coming in, cash flow coming in now, how can I set it aside to pay myself for the time that I'm going to have off? So lots of logistics and patience. But the bottom line is that it is figure outable. And I'm really happy to report that the women I work with have been able to figure out what works for them and their business, both based on what their personal needs are as they transition into motherhood and also what their business needs are. Yeah. And what their business what can be set up for their business to continue running.
Well, that's wonderful. And I love, hey, maybe I might need you someday if I ever do have another baby.
Yeah.
So, 'cause like, you know, you think about it, how do you just get up and leave if you're a blogger or, you know, or maybe you can set up content for the first 3 months or things like that. So it's to our listeners out there who are stay-at-home moms, or work-at-home moms, it's possible. Just like Adriana said, it's possible. So let's talk about transition time. How can you balance working and raising a new baby? I know this is something I as well have trouble with, just going into my business, and how do I balance being a mom and working at home, which can be a distraction.
Well, I mean, transition time, I'll talk about it specifically in relation to maternity leave, because it's one of the areas where I think we actually have much more of an opportunity and advantage over someone who's in like a regular 9-to-5.
Yes.
Because you can think about transitioning into motherhood as opposed to stopping work, like the day you go into labor, the day your baby is born.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I like to frame the transition in, because, you know, literally your baby has arrived from one day to the next, but it doesn't mean that your identity as a mother has solidified from one day to the next. So I like to provide, you know, think of it as like an area of growth where you are learning how to be a mother. Like we learn how to do all these other things, and we give ourselves some grace in being learners in those other facets of life. So just like to encourage women to give yourself that same grace. And I'm speaking to myself here too, that grace and patience in realizing that there's a learning curve. And that's part of the journey, is to frame yourself as learning to become a mother. Even though, you know, we get the title from one day to the next, our title changes, but we can learn to figure out what that means for us.
Yes, absolutely. I say this all the time. I love, love, love. But just to our listeners, it took me 2 years to just realize I'm more than just a mom. I'm more than just a wife.
And that can be so hard. I mean, that is what I see come up over and over again is if my identity was, you know, really tied to my work before, or really tied to my partner before, or really tied to being an individual, you know, independent woman before, it can be really hard to figure out what happens to that old identity now that I'm mom. And that old identity doesn't go away, but we just have to figure out and you know, wrestle with it a little bit about how the new identity can incorporate or adopt some of what we have been up until that point.
Yeah. And it makes me think about, like, I had my kids, I think I was 24, which is mid-20s. That's not so bad. But, like, if you think about it, just a few years ago, I was out in the clubs partying, and then all of a sudden, I'm wife and mommy. Like, it's a different season in your life. And like you said, it's transitioning to a new season in your life. And it can be hard, but so I can't imagine, like, teen moms, you know, bless their heart. I can't imagine what that transition is like for them. So,
yeah. I mean, I was at a conference recently where we talked about grief and how grief is actually a natural part of motherhood, but no one talks about it. Like, we gain so much. There's so much, you know, momentum and joy and growth. Yes. And there's also so much that we lose. And a lot of that loss happens silently. You know, we lose our independence, we lose our productivity, we lose the ability to go to the bathroom alone, mm-hmm. you know, small and big things that can take a toll on, how you feel and how you fit into the world. And it's different than how you once fit in.
Yes, yes. And we don't talk about that. It makes me so sad. We talk about, oh, the beauty of motherhood, which it is. I mean, it really is. But at the same time, like you said, you lose your independence. And that's, to some people, or just everyone in general, that's important. I know that was important to me. Although I knew, like, when I had kids, like, yeah, I'll lose the independence. But we never really elaborated on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but let's see. Sorry, I lost track there. So we talked about, well, no, let's talk about mental health and, you know, anxiety before you have the baby, like depression even before you had the baby, because we don't talk about that.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, your podcast is dedicated and kind of in service of such an important issue, postpartum depression. And so in thinking about perinatal mental health, perinatal mood disorders, kind of the umbrella that PPD or PPA, postpartum anxiety, or, you know, postpartum OCD falls into, there's another one, right? It's what you might experience, yeah, during pregnancy, because we know pregnancy can have its ups and downs as well. And so here, you know, putting my social worker hat on here, that we know that during pregnancy, if some of those symptoms are coming up, then that can be a really great indicator of being willing, or, you know, a making a mental note that seeking out help sooner rather than later, mm-hmm, is an option and is a great option to take. And we might think, you know, I'm not a mother yet. This can't be PPD, or this can't be postpartum, yeah, anxiety. But it is tied to the journey of motherhood and that transition time of becoming, yeah, a mother. So I like to, you know, think of maternal mental health as spanning from when we first start thinking about planning for our family through pregnancy, postpartum, first year after the baby's born. And so when we think about when's the kind of right time to seek out help if I feel any of these things, the right time is when you start feeling it.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I like to talk about, the, the symptoms that may come up while pregnant, because like we were just talking about, there's a lot of silence about it, and there's some stigma and some shame, and you know, I should be the bubbly pregnant woman. Yeah, and if you're not,
yeah
if you're not, you are still on the spectrum of normal, right? There's a wide spectrum of what you might be feeling during pregnancy, and not so happy is one of those things. So there, you know, there's resources online, there's support groups, there's clinicians and in-person therapy. I really encourage folks to reach out and figure out what can support them at any period of their journey, their motherhood journey.
While talking about this, it kind of popped a question in my head that my second baby, she was a surprise from God, and I was not prepared. So emotionally, I wasn't that bubbly mom. I wasn't glowing. Although it was a great gift from God, it took me months to just be happy. Like, so if any mom out there who is experiencing that, could that be also a sign of I don't know what the word is.
We can talk about it as just depression or anxiety, or we can not address clinical terms. We can just say worry or doubt or nervousness or sadness during pregnancy.
I don't know what it's called.
If those emotions are kind of nonstop, they're always at the forefront. They're what you wake up with feeling and what you go to bed with feeling, and you know, they affect your ability to think about other things or go about your daily functions without those emotions interfering, that is a great time to recognize this is really, you know, all encompassing for me. It's all around my thoughts, my actions, my mood, and when it becomes so kind of so pervasive in your every moment, that is the time where I really encourage people to, you know, reach out. It doesn't have to be you calling a therapist. It can be reaching out to a friend and saying, I am feeling this way and I'd like some help figuring out what do I do now? Right. I'm happy to list off some really basic strategies of what can you do? Right.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite resources is Postpartum Support International's warm line. So they opt to call it a warm line as opposed to a hotline. So it's a number you can call, and Postpartum Support International, it's listed on their website.
Okay. But
it's a warm line that you can call and talk to a volunteer and figure out what resources are in your area. Another great way is to, you know, Google maternal mental health support groups and your city or your zip code. And in-person support groups are a great way to, find others who are also on this journey. And they're typically led by either a volunteer with training, or they might be led by a trained clinician or therapist. So it's a great way to get some professional help, but also find peers, others who are feeling that way.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't even know that was available. So that's crazy. I mean, I know there was a suicide hotline, but I didn't know there was postpartum, like something specific to postpartum. So that's wonderful. And I'm glad I have you on. So we talked about building a support system even before the baby is born. Can we elaborate that? Like how can one even start they're not around family?
So, I mean, we talked about this on our pre-recording call, how you mentioned you have, you know, both grandparents in the picture, and I talked about how we have family kind of within a plane ride, but no one here immediately. So I love using a tool called an eco map. It's a social work tool where you literally map out what your support system looks like. And I do this with all my clients, you know, early on in pregnancy. I did it myself early on in pregnancy. And it, you know, you start with the immediate circle. So who are the family and friends who you literally have, you know, within driving distance around you? And think about the ways in which they might be available or how you could lean on them during during your, you know, later stage of pregnancy, especially if you're having a rough pregnancy or immediately postpartum. Sometimes this is, you know, simple things like meals. Who can come cook for you? Who can come help you with laundry? Who is willing to swing by the grocery store if you're out of milk? And you identify who are the people in my life I can count on to do that. And then we, you know, we take it a step further and go out into a wider circle. Think about within my community, who are the people that maybe aren't, you know, my closest friends, but who I might be able to reach out to if I needed something. Yeah. The things like the support group that I mentioned would fall into that category. So you know, you look up your community resources ahead of time so that postpartum, if you're having a rough time or if your partner is having a rough time, one of you has this list to refer to say, okay, well, we did our homework while we were expecting, and now we have a number of someone that we can call to get the support we need. So you're not in that moment of crisis having to do the research. Yeah. That's the end goal.
I love that. Or even like church groups or, you know, meetup groups, you know, meetup.com is a perfect place. I feel like there's still that stigma with meeting people from the internet, but I met you from the internet.
We did not have physical. We're internet friends.
Yes, exactly. It's possible. Of course, you should always be wary, but that just like how you are in public though. I mean, watch your surroundings, right? It's kind of the same way on the internet, and there's real people out there that's happy to help you. So
yeah, and I know you mentioned Facebook groups. Yeah. That is a great option for, you know, maybe you don't have a support group within your community. You know, it's not available everywhere. So thinking about, well, if that space doesn't exist physically in person, where does it exist? On on Facebook groups, I've seen some support groups happen over Zoom or Skype or other virtual platforms. If you know you need the support, finding where it exists.
Yep, absolutely. Because it's there. Believe you me, it is there. And nobody, no mommy, no, not anyone should ever suffer alone. So,
agreed.
But I just thought of a question again. Sorry. Like I said, I warn all of my guests. Like, my brain is constantly moving. But so being that you are a first-time mommy, I know your son's almost one, which is fantastic. What are tips that you can give another mom who are kind of in the same journey as you? Like, what have you learned so far?
Yeah, so much, but I will try and be brief.
No worries.
I have learned for myself that I, specifically around the work and baby issue, I have really had to learn that when I'm with my son, I don't want to be working. And when I'm working, I don't want to be worrying about my son. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's meant, you know, setting up childcare. I have just, you know, 3 half days a week where I have someone who's able to watch my son for me. And then if I have, other commitments in the evenings, then communicating with my husband, getting on the same page with our calendars and making sure that he can, you know, be the lead parent during that time. Mm-hmm. That has been really important to me to figure out how to still maintain that working professional identity that honestly was kind of the biggest fear and the biggest struggle that I face during pregnancy, is like, what's going to happen to my work that I love so much and was such a big part of my identity. So the lesson for me has been kind of divide and conquer. And it doesn't mean doing it all. It means choosing what I can do in that moment and setting myself up to do that thing in a way that doesn't feel like constant multitasking.
Yes, yes. I mean, for me, it took me so long to realize that, because I mean, I used to, when I worked away from the home, all I would ever feel is guilt because, oh, I have to send my baby away to her grandparents. Oh, I must be a burden to the grandparents. And, oh, I'm going out shopping and I'm leaving my husband with the kids. I feel so guilty. Don't. Like, you are doing the best that you can. And guess what? My in-laws love spending time with their grandkids. I mean, believe me, they love their grandkids. And so, or, you know, if I go out to the mall sometime to spend some me time, that's okay. You're allowed to have some me time. You need it.
I honestly, let me say it right now to hold myself somewhat publicly accountable. Yes. 2017, I would love to do a better job at getting me time.
Yes, do it. I know it's hard without the family, you know, without your family in nearby, but I mean, because that was one of my biggest fears, because we were planning on moving out of state and we're like, how are we going to do this? How am I going to handle this mentally without my support team? So that's something that I hope a lot of our listeners kind of learn and step out of their comfort zone. If they don't have family, immediate family, step out of that comfort zone and put yourself out there. I know it's so scary, but trust me, you are loved and you will find people that love you and feel the same way as you do. So, so I like to, unless, I mean, is there anything else that you'd like to elaborate on before we go on to our last few questions?
When you mentioned your own support team, I'll just quickly add that one thing I did was I joined a local moms group, and I had no intention of doing that during my pregnancy. It wasn't on my eco map when I made it, but I realized pretty quickly afterwards that because I work from home, I really needed to get out of the house and I needed to get out of the house and connect with other people and other people who were at my same, you know, life stage. So I joined a moms group, and we, it's not mental health specific. It's not a support group. But it is just a group that we get together once a week, and our kids are all at the same stage, more or less between 8 and 10 months. And that has been fantastic.
Now, did you, cause I did the same thing with my first, did you find them through meetup.com or a Facebook group?
I asked around, and one of the local postpartum doulas in my area coordinates these new mom groups. Oh, and so she basically helps connect women who have had babies, in similar months. And she, you know, creates, we have these little online WhatsApp chats, and then amongst ourselves, we organize, and get together offline in real life.
That's beautiful. And isn't it great to talk to people who are in the same season as you? Like, they just, they get it.
Yeah.
So no judgment. It's like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to the same thing. So I love that. I love groups where there's no judgment, and they allow you to be the mom that you can be, because no two children are the same. No two households are the same. So I love that. But yeah, I encourage our listeners, look up meetup groups and mommy groups. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't have to be postpartum related or mental health related, just moms who are in the same season as you. And that was something that I looked for and, you know, strived for. So definitely important. And after 2 years, some of those girls are still my friends. So
yeah, I mean, I imagine kind of looking down the road a few years and wondering if our kids are all going to be friends. It's a fun thing to think about.
Isn't it great? I have photos of a friend of mine that I met through the group. I have photos of her and her son when our kids were like 6 months old. And just a few weeks ago, I got pictures of them when they were both two. Like, aww. Geez, Louise. So I was just looking at those pictures. I'm like, geez, they grow up so fast. But I mean, it's great. Like, you're building a relationship with a mom that you can, you know, walk through the journey together, and your kids are becoming best friends. Hopefully they become best friends as they grow up. You never know. Or, you know, if they're a boy and girl, they can end up husband and wife someday. Who knows? But so we're coming up to our last two questions here, and this is one question I like to ask all of our listeners. But as a mom and as a wife, what is your current struggle and joy?
Okay. My current struggle. My current struggle is, this goes back to what I just said I was going to hold myself publicly accountable for. My current struggle is finding time to spend by myself, where I don't make myself busy doing something else, washing dishes or, you know, throwing a load of laundry in or just picking up for a few minutes, where I really am having like white space. Yes. That is a struggle for me.
I think for all of us it is. I'm the same way. Working from home is hard because you're sitting at your desk and you're like, I need to put the laundry away, do the dishes. So it can be hard. But
yeah. On the other side, my current joy is, let's see, I have gotten the chance to reconnect with friends from graduate school, from back home in California over the past few weeks. Just trying to make those reconnections in the new year. I've made that a focus, and it has been a lot of fun to see where people are, you know, in their life right now. And you know, everyone's always like, oh, let's see pictures of the baby and whatnot. And so it's always fun to, you know, a little baby spam.
Yep.
So that's been a lot of fun and my current joy.
Oh, reconnecting. That's beautiful. I love that. I kind of figuring out or doing the same thing. It's hard because of Facebook, but you're going to laugh at me. My 10-year high school reunion is this year. So, And I'm like, I'm kind of sad because nobody has set anything up yet. And I've been looking around. They've said the last one they've done was the class of 2003. I'm a class of 2007. I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah, people, get organized.
People are like, oh, well, we have Facebook. I'm like, it's not the same. Like, seeing each other physically, like, you know, hugging each other, it's different. So hopefully someone gets something together. But Ariana, it was so great to have you on and giving these moms the resources that they need. I'll make sure to link that up as well on our website. But if you want to let everyone know where they can find you, and maybe there's a mom out there who works from home and maybe needs your help because she's pregnant and doesn't know what to do.
Sure. I mean, my home on the internet is just my name, arianataboada.com, and it's not an easy to spell name. So you can check the show notes on Always With Me to find that. And if you're interested in that eco map, that workbook that I mentioned that helps you visually map out, I do have that just free available as a resource on my website. And we'll include the link. I'll send it over to you, Diana, so we can include that link in the show notes too. And you can just, you sign up via email and download it and get a little e-course that walks you through, your own planning and mapping out of your support network.
Wonderful. Well, I know you have a call soon, so I'll let you go. But thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I'm so grateful.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad we did this.
Me too. Was that not a great conversation? I mean, all of our conversations are great on this show. Just saying. But I love how we talked about, my favorite topics are talking about the transition into motherhood. And it's so, for me, I felt like it was my job. Like, we were naturally supposed to be a good mom. And we are naturally supposed to know what we're doing, right? No. And my biggest thing was how Ariana mentioned that being a mom is a big learning curve for us. It's a big season. And we have to give ourselves grace. You know, we don't necessarily know exactly on what we're supposed to do as a mother right then and there. So each day, take it as a learning curve. I know I am. And if you ask elderly moms out there, they probably say, even when their kids are grown, they probably say they're still learning. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation because I know I did, and I've learned a lot of things from Ariana today. Also, on the side note, if you could please leave a review and rating on iTunes and Stitcher. Our links are below on every every one of our show notes for our guests. The links will be, you have to scroll all the way down and the links will be right there. Just click on it, leave a review, tell me what you like and tell me what you don't like. Tell me what you want to hear. I love hearing from all of our listeners, and it's just amazing to know that we're helping the mamas out there, helping me, helping my guests, and helping our listeners. We are sisterhood ladies. Remember that. So, whether you're listening to this today, tomorrow, a year from now, or even just a month from now, know that I am always with you, and you are an amazing mother. So kisses to you, and kisses to your baby. Mwah. Bye-bye.